Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Derry Township Board of Supervisors meeting. This is our regularly scheduled meeting for Tuesday, July 25th, 2023. It's approximately 7 p.m. The board met an executive session for this evening's meeting beginning at approximately 6 p.m. to discuss land and legal issues. That session concluded at about 6:55 p.m. And so, with that, I'm going to officially call our meeting, tonight's meeting, to order. First thing on the agenda is the Pledge of Allegiance. Would everyone please rise?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Alright, just a couple of housekeeping issues as we start the meeting. Although it's posted within the meeting room, I want to advise all persons attending this meeting that it is and has been a policy of the township to tape record all public meetings for the purpose of providing accurate minutes. That's important because if anyone should be at the podium this evening and speaking, we need you to identify yourself, first name, last name, and if you have a difficult name to spell, please, as a courtesy to our stenographer, spell your last name, and then also your address. If you're on the agenda as an applicant or you're on the agenda for any reason, you just need to tell us your name. You don't need to give us your address. Address is reserved for the folks coming up during public comment. It's important that when we're speaking, we try our very best that only one person is speaking at a time. Our meetings are audio recorded, so they get posted on our website fairly soon after a township meeting. And I have it on good authority from folks I know that listen that if we're not all speaking, making sure that only one person is speaking at a time, it's very difficult if you're listening to the audio portion of the meeting to know who's actually speaking. And so it is important for context to know who is speaking. So we ask that if we have to be a little disciplined in terms of how we sort of comport ourselves. And during public comment, it's very important also that the people that are speaking from the podium feel that they've been heard and that we're able to accurately transcribe what they've said into the record. So with that, the first item on our agenda is our normal visitor public comment session. Yes, I'm sorry. Mr. Crispin, would you please do the roll call? I started just a tad early.
Supervisor Zabuda.
Here.
Supervisor Corrado.
Here.
Supervisor Nutt.
Here.
Supervisor Wyckoff.
Here.
And Supervisor Abruzzo.
Yes, I am here.
There are five present.
Thank you. So we have the full board. The first item is but visitor public comment. So typically, we ask anyone that wishes to come to the podium, you're essentially placing comment into the record. You're speaking to the board, but it's being transcribed and it does get placed into the official record. We just ask that you limit your comment to around 3 minutes. We typically have busy agenda a lot of business on our agenda that we have to get through. So if you get to the 3 minute mark and you haven't wrapped up, I will sort of gently nudge you along. But we do like you to, I try to keep people to 3 minutes. I don't normally cut people off. If you're in the middle of making a really important point, I will give you the podium to allow you to finish your point. But as a courtesy to everyone in the room, let's try to be disciplined on our use of time. So with that, I'll open up the meeting for public comment. Anybody wishing to come forward, you should come forward to the podium. You just need to say your first name, last name, and your address.
Hi. Connie Knoll, last name is N-O-L-L. I live at the Hershey Plaza, which is 215 West Chocolate Avenue, apartment 9N, Hershey, PA. I'm here about the...
I'm sorry.
A few years ago, one of our residents was killed crossing Chocolate Avenue at Bridge Road. And last week, another was coming back from Proteus grocery shopping in a wheelchair, and he was struck. He's in the hospital still with broken ribs and complications. Thank you. He He's in critical condition. I'm begging you, please do something with that intersection. I did call the police and talk to somebody, and they said that no, they can't make all the lights red for all the pedestrians to cross at the same time. But hopefully the supervisors here can have that done, maybe. Hubbleston, I know for a fact, they have all their lights red on their square when all pedestrians cross. And that's basically all I have to say is please do something to make that safer for the pedestrians. Thank you.
Thank you very much for bringing that to our attention. And it's an intersection we have been looking at, and we have tried to make some improvements at it. Thank you for those recommendations.
Can you push that button?
Yes.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Jill Clark, C-L-A-R-K-E. I also live at Hershey Plaza Apartments. That's 215 West Chapel. My apartment number is 7A. I am a friend of Dick Garrett. He is the gentleman in the wheelchair who was hit. Apparently, he didn't have any identification on him when the tragedy occurred. I am the one who informed his brother the following day. I have been told by my doctor I need to get out and exercise. You know, I won't cross 422 there, Chocolate Avenue. I just think it's too dangerous. The speeds are too great. There's too many people rushing the red lights, and something needs to be done. You know, we don't want another tragedy like this. I call Dick every day. I try to. I can't get through him. He's asleep because he's medicated, or he's having some kind of therapy. This was an innocent gentleman crossing the road. He worked all this life, and to be wiped out by who? We don't even know who it is. I haven't heard who the driver was. But did it, was it a tourist from out of state?
We'll find out. Would you happen to know, Lieutenant Rich?
I can't speak to that right now. I don't know, sir.
Supposedly, according to his brother Pete, the officer on the scene is out of the office until this Friday. So his brother can't even find out any information. So
it may have been a hit and run, is what you're saying.
Yeah. I have no idea.
We don't know
it's
yet.
Not in the paper. How would we find out?
It wasn't a hit and run. The driver was there and told the police he was watching the roller coaster instead of paying attention to where he was driving.
Okay. Thank you for clearing that up.
Okay. Good evening. My name is Miriam Taylor, and I also am a resident of Hershey Plaza. And when I heard about this unfortunate accident, it did not surprise me. I usually go to my bank, to the grocery store, to the businesses to take and have lunch, to have an ice cream cone. I am always waiting at the proper place, pushing the button and waiting until I see the walk sign. I know for sure I am in a hover round, which is a type of wheelchair. I can't walk long distances, but I have had occasions where I have had to take and swerve because someone was not paying attention. This is the second fatality at that traffic signal. We are very aware in my community that we need something a little bit more than what we have. A traffic study has to be done, not only because of the residents of Hershey Plaza, but we have hundreds of tourists and children that take and cross those 1, 2, 3, 4 intersections. It's a very busy intersection, very busy. We would like for someone to make another study of the vehicular traffic and study how long it takes a person with a cane to cross, a person in a wheelchair to cross. I've taken, like I said, I use a hover round. I do not go anywhere except in my hover round when it comes to taking and doing my shopping, to go to the bank, to go to the businesses that are on the avenue. I am always on West Chocolate. I would like very much to know that if I am taking a crossing, that I have enough time to make it to the next corner without having to have somebody go, eep, because they didn't stop in time. Yeah. I also am a pet owner. I will not let my pet walk across, which means I have to pick up my pet and put her safely in my lap in order to cross. So I'm begging all of you to take and consider that we need another study to see to it that we have enough time to safely cross, because our lives matter too. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. And we've done a lot. I'll just ask my colleagues. We've done a lot through our transportation committee to look at improvements along Chocolate Avenue for the very reasons that these people are describing. So I don't know, I'll look to Eric. And are there other things that we can be doing? Is that those, quite frankly, what's being described, both incidents where people were hurt, in both instances, the drivers weren't paying attention, according to the speakers here tonight, and based on my knowledge, what was reported from the incident that was fatal. Doesn't sound like the second one wasn't, this one that just happened, the person is still alive. But the first one was a fatality. In both instances, it doesn't appear the drivers were paying attention, which we struggle with because there's a lot of activity down there, and despite the different traffic mitigation measures we can employ, still requires people to pay attention, and we're struggling, trying to find ways to force that to happen. So I'm just going to, before you speak, because I'm going to give you the floor, is there something, what other ideas are?
So we had met with PennDOT to discuss ideas, and in fact, drove up and down the corridor with them. They acknowledge it's easy to get distracted down there. There's a lot going on between pedestrians, businesses, signs. There's just a lot that may be pulling your eyes off the road, roller coasters. I think that was their focus, is let's try to eliminate some of the clutter that we can. There's delay, as everybody knows. Driving down 422, it backs up now. If you were to stop all traffic and allow pedestrians to cross on their own like they have in Hummelstown, obviously this is a much busier intersection than Hummelstown Square. You're going to wind up with further delays, which can cause their own accidents and own fatalities if you have traffic backing up well beyond the traffic signal. Through other driveways, other cross streets, blocking sight lines at those other intersections. So I think that was really what PennDOT's concern was, that the volume of traffic on 422, it would be very difficult to stop that traffic every cycle while pedestrians are crossing the street. And again, the concern that would create its own safety issues. We considered a leading pedestrian interval, which kind of gives a couple seconds for pedestrians to get a head start before the light turns green. Not as impactful to traffic flow. I think PennDOT's concerned that I'm not sure that that's even going to address the issues that we're seeing. But I think PennDOT's concern with that is that gets them out in the line of traffic by the time it turns green, and maybe that's even creating a worse condition. And as opposed to having the pedestrian looking and making sure the car is yielding before they start crossing. So again, there's pluses and minuses to that treatment as well.
I wonder, Lieutenant, there's more in the choice. It's just enforcement we can do at that intersection. Because I tend to believe that there's people probably scurrying through lights right after they turn red just to get through.
Sir, we can assign selective control to conduct additional enforcement there.
Okay. So thank you for indulging me.
So good evening. My name is Adair McKinney.
I'm sorry, what was your name?
Apartment 6W.
Did you want to just, I think she just needs you to repeat.
Could you say?
McKinney, M-C-K-I-N-N-E-Y. The first name is Adair, A-D-A-I-R.
Thank you, ma'am.
Like my friends, I have concerns. Actually, I initiated the changes that were made that are there now. I spoke with Chief Warner, and we had several meetings. It took 3 years to get those changes. And it is very pretty. I mean, I do have to say that the crosswalk where the Duck Donuts is, there is a huge difference. The traffic probably is about 75% better at stopping than it was before. It's still dangerous, but when you push the button, you have to be very careful, step out, look both ways, hold your hands up, etc. I was hit at that crosswalk, actually, but I did not end up in the hospital. With regard to the Chocolate Avenue and Ridge Road, I was a witness to one of the accidents, and actually there are four people who have been hit at that intersection in the last 4 years. So three of them were critical, and the one person died. My concern is that we are having a new development on the west end of Pershing. And it's obvious there's going to be a lot more traffic coming into center of Pershing. There was a parking garage built, all the restaurants. It seems like there was very poor planning with regard to the extra traffic that was coming into the center of town. What are you proposing to do? This isn't going to get any better. This is only going to get worse and much more dangerous. There's also a new building being proposed right next to the plaza, which is going to bring a lot more traffic and cars right smack dab into the center of town. You can do study after study after study, and I understand the complications involved. You can't do what they do in, is it Hummelstown or Palmyra, where you push a button and all the traffic stops, and no one can make a turn until the person is across. That's an ideal solution, and I understand you have issues with traffic backing up in Hershey. My concern is it's just not going to get any better. It's going to get much, much worse. I have been almost not able to cross, and I'm not in a wheelchair or a hover round, and I made calls to PennDOT saying, can you give us an extra 6 seconds or 10 seconds to get across the street? And it was like I was asking for the, we can't do that. This is a state issue. You have to contact so-and-so, or I contacted so-and-so. Oh, no, this has to come up before a board. And I never in a million years dreamed it would be so difficult to get a few extra seconds to cross a very busy, dangerous intersection. Come on, four people hit in that very same spot, and three of them were hit by cars that were turning. You can look left, you can look right, and you can look straight ahead, but you cannot see behind you, and you can't see cars coming up on you that are turning. There's just so much going on in that intersection. And just to put a sign that says, watch pedestrians or whatever, it just isn't going to cut it. What is there now is definitely not sufficient. It's just downright ridiculous. And you can't say to people, don't use that crossing, go to the other one. That's what we were told before we had anything at all. They told us to come use this crossing and don't use the one at Duck Donuts. So it just doesn't work. I know I have a solution. I know it's preposterous, but there is a tunnel in Hershey. It used to be, people still use it, and you can use it to cross. I know it's probably cost prohibitive, but how many people have to die before something seriously is done? Why can't you look into building a tunnel under the road, and you can't cross the street at any intersection in downtown Hershey unless you cross underneath in the tunnel? I mean, that's thinking out of the box. But I understand the difficulties you have, and it's not going to get any easier. So I'm suggesting maybe it's time to start thinking out of the box and realize that you're going to have to put some money up here to do something. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your comments.
I'm back. Rich Gambin, 39 October, Hershey, Pennsylvania. Since you're on the subject about pedestrian safety, I also would like to bring up the issue about motorists safety. I travel Chocolate Avenue on the average of twice a day. I find that people cross between Ridge and, was it Linden? They don't cross at the crosswalk. I drive through there going 20 miles an hour, and I got idiots behind me blowing a horn at me. Once I get past Cocoa, you're going down that road 40 miles an hour. I'm still doing now 25. I don't know if you said about selective policing. I think on particularly all the between Rich and Linden, if we had a police officer there on Friday, Saturday nights, and start ticketing these people, they jaywalk. Because they're not only putting themselves at risk, they put me at risk of when they jarred out between cars, particularly little kids. And the biggest area, the highest situation, occurs there Philip Arthur's and Venetian's. That seemed to be the real sore spot. All they had to do was about 25 more feet across the crosswalk. So that's something, like I said, I would volunteer my time on a Friday and Saturday night just to write out tickets for jaywalking because it puts other motorists at a better advantage. I don't want my insurance to go up because some idiot jumped out in front of me and I couldn't stop in time, or I get rear-ended because I had to stop. So that's another issue.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gamble.
Good evening. My name is Phil Juris. Phil Juris, J-U-R-U-S. I live at 58 Locus Avenue in Hershey. I would like to ask whoever some clarification regarding certain procedural matters concerning the remaining hearings of the Governor Crossing Project. It is my understanding that there are two remaining hearings, one next Monday and 31st of July, the other on August 24th. Regarding that, I have the following questions. Am I correct that there are still two testimonies to be made by individuals or their councils, and that the public will then be able to offer comments following their presentations at the July 31st meeting? And since the testimonials have taken a significant amount of time, what is the likelihood that the public will be recognized if it happens that the time for the comments is limited by the circumstances of the length of these two remaining testimonies? Will they be allowed on the 24th of August? Is there a list where members of the public can sign up to speak, or is that on a first-come, first-served basis? What is the expected time allotment for public comments? 2 minutes, 3 minutes? And finally, how would these answers be made available? Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Joyce.
Good evening. Wayne Rivers, 815 Cypress Court, Derry Township. I was wondering if you folks could take a look at some traffic that's on the new roundabout. As you come through the roundabout and you're heading south on Waltonville to go up the hill towards that way towards Wood Road, there's almost not a day that goes by where I don't notice that there's a tractor trailer that's gone straight through that intersection. Their GPS is taking them up the Wood Road to take a right, come out over on Vine Street, Middletown Road, whatever you want to call it. And you can tell the right side of the pavement is really getting torn up, and it's just going to continue that way. And I've gone through and take a look to see if there's any signage that says, you know, only a certain weight, only so many axles and things like that are allowed past that roundabout. And there's no sign indicating that. So some of the guys, like the FedEx drivers, they know that coming through that roundabout, they got to come out down there by the old turnover by Indian Echo. But guys that don't know the area, and what's going to happen is sooner or later, a couple of these guys are going to get stuck in a ditch, and it's going to close the road down. Plus, when they get down to the little church there on Vine Street, they're trying to make a left to get on there, and it's backing up traffic. Who knows what's going to happen? So if you could take a look at the signage to see what we can do so that we can prevent any more damage. And I understand that portion of Wood Road from Waltonville to Vine is state run, and so is Waltonville. So I guess you got to talk to the county commissioners or our representatives to see if something can get done. All right? Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
Christine Wexler, 1016 Old Mustafa Avenue. Good evening. First and foremost, I would like to say thank you. Thank you for being in the arena. Lord, sorry, I forgot. Please guide my words and may they be pleasing in your sight, Lord Almighty. Thank you for being in the arena. I could never do what you do. I could never sit up there and do that. So the gifts that the Lord has given you with, that you possess make a tremendous difference in our community, and I have the utmost respect for that. I am here this evening because, and second, Chairman Abruzzo, I wanted to acknowledge the kindness and the compassion that you showed to the woman at the last meeting with the cats. I thought you were very kind in guiding her through the process, the meeting process. And so I stand here tonight, and after that meeting, we were told again that we would not be supported and we should seek county support again. So I am here tonight to please implore you to understand I am a proud citizen of Derry Township. For you to understand the power that CocoPax possesses in the community, and it's not just the children that we are assisting. So I challenge with the cats. I went back to our office, and I as we were working through the process, and spoke to one of our employees, and they said, well, are all the cats that are rescued from Derry Township? And it caught me off guard because I was like, well, I didn't think about that. And then I thought about the fire department who got a new fire truck. And are all the fire calls from Derry Township? And then I thought about the Vista School, who comes out and volunteers with us every single week during the school year. And are all those children from Derry Township? And I'm proud to be here. And I just don't understand why that doesn't matter. We have some of the most powerful businesses and companies that assist us. Christian Entertainment Resorts, the Hershey Company. We provided almost 100 volunteers space to do service, and they're good to give back. Doesn't that matter? We are an area business with our CocoPax Presence event. Area businesses open their doors to us to help children. But our Board of Supervisors thinks that because we help other kids, that doesn't matter. And that, I can't understand that. We provide volunteer opportunities for thousands of people. We provide group volunteer opportunity for hundreds of other people that are in Derry Township. Our volunteers are in Derry Township.
Christine, I need you to wrap up.
Our food rescue program for Derry Township businesses, where we're saving surplus food and getting it to children who are hungry. Derry Township, that we're rescuing that food. So I'm just asking you to please reconsider and sponsor cocoa packs from the township this year. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, seeing as no one else is coming forward, we will move on to the next item on our agenda, that is the consent calendar. There are five items under the consent calendar for this evening's meeting. As many know, the board has the authority to approve all items under the consent calendar in one motion, or to take each of the items separately in whatever order the board wishes. So at this time, I'll ask my colleagues, do you have a preference for this evening's meeting for the items on the consent calendar?
I'll make a motion to adopt the entire consent calendar, items A, B, C, D, and E.
All right, motion made by Mr. Zamuda to adopt all items under the consent calendar in one motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion is seconded by Mr. Corrado. Are there any questions or any discussion? And for just everyone should be able to see what these items are on the agenda. I know we're combining them into one motion, but they're all laid out in the consent calendar, under its consent calendar on the agenda. So the board doesn't have any questions or discussion on the motion. I'll take a vote. All in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. The next item on the agenda is new business. Under new business, the first item is A. It's the consideration of applications for sponsorship of funding requests in the 2023-2024 Dauphin County Local Share Municipal Grant Program. Mr. Christman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to provide a bit of background for the board tonight before we begin to entertain any discussion from the applicants this year. As you're aware, the Township of Derry, being a contiguous community to East Hanover Township, which is the host community for the Hollywood Casino, we are eligible to apply for gaming grant funding through the Dauphin County Local Share Municipal Grant Program. Organizations wishing to apply for funding must seek sponsorship from either Dauphin County or an eligible community that can serve as co-applicant. The Board of Supervisors' role for organizations seeking township sponsorship must prioritize rank and rank the request and pass a resolution during the same. Last year at this time, you will recall that the board established a new policy, kind of giving guidance to us and the administrative end as these applications are coming through. And it was a three-point policy that you put in place. The first being that we would like to see a majority of applications be public safety-oriented or municipal projects being the primary lead applications in any grant round moving forward. Secondly, if you were to consider something outside of that, you would only consider nonprofit organizations that can show a financial benefit to taxpayers of Derry Township being another group of potential applicants. And lastly, the board made it very clear that we no longer wish to see any applications from for-profit businesses seeking sponsorship. With respect to applicants that don't meet those criteria, the board left open the opportunity that they could seek sponsorship directly from Dauphin County, which through this particular round, that was the direction that was given to a majority of folks that approached the township this year seeking direct sponsorship. So tonight, before you, we have a limited number of applications, a majority of which is in your packet, encompass exactly what we set forth in last year's policy, which is public safety and municipal projects. The first two in particular cover the Hershey Volunteer Fire Company, and I'll let them speak to it. But as you're aware, we did purchase two new fire apparatuses. We were going through that process over the course of the last 6 to 8 months, and of course last year, the board made it very clear that we would use upcoming rounds for the local share grant to offset debt service requirements for the purchase of the apparatus. In this case, it's $156,380 that we would be asking for in this particular round and every round thereafter until the debt service is retired. From the municipal side of things, and Allison will speak to it tonight a little bit more, we have an HVAC project in our public library that serves as a cooling station for Dauphin County because it is a regional library. People come and utilize it. That we're asking for $150,000 to offset some of that future expense. As you know, we're going through the design process right now. The police department also has additional needs. They will talk to you about the purchase of a traffic safety unit. And Public Works, of course, was before you a few meetings ago for a new dump truck. Those are all qualified projects under this grant for that umbrella of public safety. We'll also hear from this evening a representative from Derry Township Community Cats for a shed project that they are about to embark on. As you know, Derry Township Cats is part of our budget annually. The township allocates funding directly to that organization to address concerns of feral cats in our community. Their application would be a direct benefit to the taxpayers. We can reduce subsidy to that organization because now we're helping them through this grant process, and if the county looks favorably upon it, they would get that money to help build that shed, and that would be something less that the county would have to pay towards that annual stipend. And the last three applications, we have one for the Active Learning Center, which is a startup for a new nonprofit. The Hershey Partnership is looking for website, social media, and publications efforts, and the Susquehanna Mountain Bike Association has a request for trail improvements. At this point, before I turn it over to the applicants to make any comments or make their presentations, does the board have any questions of me or wish to seek to clarify any part of the process that we're going through this evening?
Could you just talk a little bit about the different, whether the difference between sort of the county funding versus the municipal funding and how that works?
Well, I'm not an expert in it by any stretch, but it's my understanding that, you know, the pool of money that comes from the casino grant in and of itself gets divided. And, you know, if you're a municipal sponsor like we are, there's a pool of money that would be available for projects that are sponsored by Derry Township. Likewise, the county has a much larger role in this process. They have a larger pot of money that they can allocate for a broad range of projects, which would be economic development, be it public safety. They have a lot further discretionary power as far as how they wish to see those funds allocated. So there's a greater likelihood for organizations that have a much larger presence in the community or a regional presence within Dauphin County, if they would seek sponsorship directly through the county and receive funding, they might get a larger share of that pie from that piece of the puzzle. But every year, you know, it depends on how much money flows into the account through the casino grant itself. I don't know what those numbers are. It's not something that, you know, is shared with me directly, but you know, your role, you're one of, you know, a handful of municipalities. Derry is one of a bunch that could sponsor non-municipal applications. Some of your partners in and around the county have opted to only fund and sponsor municipal safety projects only. You know, this township has been a little bit broader in its interpretation and has allowed applications for different purposes over the last 10, 12, 13 years that the grant's been around, or since its inception. And, you know, this board took a position last year and began to dial that back. So I don't know if that answers your question, but it might provide some context.
Thank you.
All right, so seeing that there's no additional questions from the board, if you're okay, we'll move on first, and the Hershey Volunteer Fire Company will be up. Mr. Sasson will be representing the department on their behalf to kind of just highlight what I just said, hopefully in one slide. But we'll try to keep the presentations brief. We know that the board has a long agenda this evening.
There's a clicker up there.
And I think, Chris, it's just for all the applicants, the board has seen all presentations, so I don't want any of the applicants to feel an undue amount of pressure. Like, we've seen this. It's always nice to hear from the applicants so that if we have questions, we can ask questions. But everyone should feel comforted by the fact that we've seen the materials, and so if you skip something, you don't have to feel bad later. You skip something.
Well, we can go pretty quick, but thank you, David Sassman, Vice President of Hershey Volunteer Fire Department. Here on tonight, before you tonight, for the Gaming Board grant. Here for Rodney Sondman, so he couldn't be present tonight to speak to this. As you know, we are seeking a grant for $156,000, that reason being from the past two fire trucks that we have purchased. Let's quickly. that. As you know, we do replace the trucks every 15 to 20 years. And this year, you approved both two trucks, the one being the engine, and the second most recent is attack 48. That attack unit was a 1999. It's being replaced this year. With the 2025, it becomes the same or similar unit that we had in place as attack 48, which is a specialty urban assault kind of vehicle. The grant and the acceptance of, if we would get awarded that $156,000, we intend to use for the debt services to pay off, would help relieve the township and also the taxpayer burden for the purchase of those fire apparatus. So that's the unit that we're talking that you approved this year. I believe two months ago. So that's the urban interface pumper that's being replaced. The increases that we had are the ability for a greater capacity in the water and also the pump. It stays the same with the four-wheel drive vehicle, which was proven very vital to the township over the years with the floods and with the snow. So it served our township very well. It's actually made more water rescues than it has in the winter, but it served the township very well. Engine 48 is in need of replacement, which was the earlier truck that was asked to be purchased. That was a 2006, and it was due to replace in 15 years. Over the last few years, and one of the big portions was it was unable to meet its pump test to its fullest capacity. Still works very well, however, it's not to its fullest capacity. With that being said, there's Rodney's stuff there. We come again before you tonight to seek that $150,000 to relieve the debt and the burden of both the township and the taxpayers for providing fire protection to the township. We also are one of the first new companies to the casinos itself. So we would be assisting them in the event of a fire there. I think that's basically all we have for trying to be quick. And do you have any questions for me about this?
The one attack vehicle, as I understood it from a prior presentation, what's different about that vehicle is it's sort of compressed, right? It's not as long as a typical fire truck. And can you talk about why that's important in the community that we live in? Developments, neighborhoods, uphills.
Sure, be happy to. So if you look at this truck in the very in the back side of that truck, it doesn't have as long as what we call an angle of departure. So when we specifically did that, and we do that for the residents up in the back off of the hills. So you have very steep driveways there. A large pumper isn't able to make the, if you look at the back and the hangover there, that large piece of apparatus would not be able to make those hills. It can make the normal streets, however, when you got to go up the truck driveways, you're kind of limited to where you get hung up. This vehicle is specifically designed to do that, as well as the other four-wheel drive and the snow stuff, but the very specific or uniqueness to it is it can get up those driveways and be able to park on the top. Then we would supply that truck with additional orders from the incoming apparatus. So that's one of the specialties or piece that it serves specific to an area within the township.
What's the time between the time of placing the order for these vehicles at this apparatus and when we expect delivery?
So that order was just recently placed, and that is on a 31-month delay currently till we see that piece of apparatus.
And in the meantime, you'll keep those other two vehicles in service the best you can until they arrive.
That's correct, yes. Yes. And then, unfortunately, this 99 had replacing it, becoming a little more difficult to park because of the year and the age of it, but we do have it working order. Everything works. It's functional at this point.
Any other questions for Mr. Sassman?
Mr. Sassman, thank you for the presentation.
Sure.
I know as a board, we've talked a lot about all the new development that's going on here in Derry Township and how important it is to keep on top of our vehicles, our fire apparatus, as we bring on communities like the West End, and how important it is for us to be ready when they all come online. And this is just another way for us to start getting prepared for the new homes and businesses that will be headed out on the West End.
too, but you also as ISO ratings, so that this new engine here helps actually boost that ISO rating, and then that also helps insurance rates. So the better the ISO rate is, the better the insurance rates are for the township and for the residents. It also, I believe we're a 3, if I remember correctly, and that's outstanding for a volunteer fire department to achieve a 3 in ISO rating.
Which results in a reduction of ultimately your homeowner's insurance.
Correct.
Is a little lower if you're highly rated under the ISO program.
Correct. So. Correct. And that all is by, it's based on water, how much we can get there, how fast we can pump it, and the flows. There's numerous things that go into it, but these all help meet that criteria.
Any other questions for Mr. Sassoon? Thank you very much.
Thank you. And I appreciate it. Again, we appreciate the support. Yeah, thanks. All
right, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to turn it over to Allison Jacobine from the library. She'll present the project, the HVAC project on behalf of the library.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to appear before you today. As Chris said, my name is Allison Jacobine, and I'm here on behalf of the Hershey Public Library to request sponsorship of a local share municipal grant. The Hershey Public Library is beginning the process of replacing its 27-year-old air conditioning unit. So this unit was installed when the building was built and has limped along for the past several years with replacements and repairs making it usable. However, the unit is at the end of its useful life and does need to be replaced. We're requesting sponsorship for a local share municipal grant in the amount of $143,212. This amount would cover half of the project's anticipated cost. The other half would hopefully be covered by a Keystone grant for public libraries through the Office of Commonwealth Libraries. So some brief background on the library. Hershey Public Library serves the residents and visitors of Derry Township. Our mission is to be the hub of our community, creating possibilities for everyone to enrich their lives. In 2022, we saw over 100,000 visitors, and in 2023, we have seen a steady increase in the number of people visiting, with over 65,000 visits so far this year. With popular programs such as children's performers, author visits, and the Chocolate Town Book Festival, we're seeing more people than ever. The library is a destination for people looking to study in a quiet space, use the public computers, get recommendations for what to read or watch, or even troubleshoot technology. Our Cocoa Avenue building opened on April 26, 1997, and major renovations completed in the summer of 2020 created a new family entrance, storytime room, teen room, and a reading garden. We've recently added a book locker that allows people to pick up materials at a time most convenient to them and are soon to begin lending blood pressure cuffs for people to monitor their blood pressure at home. We are a vibrant library that is growing with its community, and we look to provide services that community and visitors alike can use to better their lives. Our need for a new air conditioning system was sadly discovered during the 2023 Friends book sale. With hundreds of bodies packed into small meeting rooms and outdoor temperatures topping over 90 degrees for each of the 5 days, it was very clear something was wrong. As someone who was there, I swear I sweat through my shirt. Examination of the cooling unit showed that one had failed. The township was generous enough to do a Band-Aid fix that has been put in place, and units are running a lot more smoothly this summer. However, the more extreme the temperature is outside, the worse it is inside. We're noticing that the cooling units are struggling to keep up. During the past week, when temperatures were over 90 degrees, the library was unable to provide a reliably cool space for residents to escape the heat and resulted in very sweaty working conditions for staff. So replacement of the air conditioner is necessary, and we anticipate that this facility improvement will provide benefits to health and public safety, as well as be in the best interest of the public. So 2022 was actually the 6th warmest year on record, and the 10 warmest years of historical record have all occurred since 2010. Cooling centers are often used by governments to provide shade, water, restrooms, and cooler temperatures to residents in order to protect them from dangerously high temperatures. As heat waves become more intense and frequent, it's important to have opportunities for people to go somewhere where they don't have to pay anything to be there. The library is a place for that. Unfortunately, we're right next to the community center, which can also provide that, but obviously you can't fit everyone in Derry Township into one building. Ineffective air conditioning also results in a buildup of humidity that could result in damage to our physical collection. Humidity causes mold, warping, and other damage to books exposed to it for prolonged periods of time. And we have 87,000 items in our physical collection. This could be a very, very costly damage. The timeline for the project starts in August, with design work beginning courtesy of Moore Engineering. In September of 2023, we're hoping the design will fully be completed. I'm also working to apply for a Keystone grant. That has an October deadline. And then we'll be notified of the Keystone grant award in mid-February of 2024. If that grant isn't awarded, we can begin work sooner, as Keystone grants do require that bidding and work not begin until contracts are executed in April of 2024. Then we're hoping we'll wrap up by July, hopefully. The budget does include design costs for an engineer, and that includes bid support and an estimate of costs. The HVAC replacement has been estimated at $275,000, but probably could be higher once the design is completed. I recognize that the library supplies a valuable service to the taxpayer, and we focus on accomplishing that goal in as cost-effective a manner as possible, which is why I'm pursuing several grants to offset the cost of this program. We had our pre-application meeting with the Dauphin County Gaming Advisory Board on July 21st, and I've begun preparing the formal application for submission if we are chosen for sponsorship. In the book Palaces for the People, Eric Kleinenberg states that social infrastructure is crucially important because local face-to-face interactions are the building blocks of all public life. The staff and I are very proud to serve the community of Derry Township through our work at Hershey Public Library. Replacing the library's air conditioner will strengthen our ability to do that work. Thank you very much for your time and consideration. Does anyone have any questions for me?
I don't remember the year that the library was completed, but it was 1994, 1995, something like that.
96.
And that's the original, what you're proposing to replace is the original HVAC
system. The whole thing.
Okay. Any other questions?
Yeah. Also, are you going to be able to hold out until then?
Personally, no, but yeah. I'll make it work. We're making do with fans, and if you're sitting down in the library, it's generally okay, but a lot of the time for staff, when we're up and moving around, it very much becomes difficult. So we're all dressing lightly, but professionally, of course.
Allison, I just want to thank you for all of the grants that you've been pursuing. I know you mentioned all of those upgrades that were done in the library. That is in thanks in part to you and your predecessor who sought out that funding. Yeah. And in addition, you're also seeking additional funding through another grant for this HVAC. So that's so helpful to the bottom line and to everyone here who pays taxes. So thank you for all that hard work that you're doing.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Allison.
Thank you.
All right, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to turn this over to Lieutenant Roach. He has a few comments about the request.
Members of the board, good evening. Lieutenant Roach from the Police Department. Seeking your sponsorship for the procurement of $144,082. For the acquisition of a Ford Transit van, shown depicted on the slideshow. The intent for this van is to replace an existing van that we have that's several years old. The van itself has served multiple purposes in the police agency. Primarily would be to support our traffic safety unit. We have a number of officers that are certified weights and measures officers that can go out and measure the weights of commercial motor vehicles traveling through the township. Additionally, we do have federal motor carrier inspectors that have federal authority to conduct inspections and assessments of our commercial motor vehicle traffic, not only in Derry Township, but because of the federal authority, they are permitted to leave the township to conduct inspections. In order, as a former motor carrier inspection officer, there's several pieces of equipment that are used to conduct those inspections. They do have a significant impact on the trucking industry and that particular company that an inspector is examining, namely scales. We have 12 scales that we do transport in our existing van, and that helps us weigh the vehicles. We have other tools that help the inspector to inspect in accordance with federal standards. So that's primarily the reason for this transit van, is to house and transport those pieces of equipment, inspection material out to the scene to do those inspections. Secondly, this would dual as a traffic safety investigation. We'd store our tools and mechanisms that we use to reconstruct serious motor vehicle accidents and fatal crash investigations to bring out to the scene and have those at our disposal to conduct those thoroughly and properly. And finally, this van would be used for something new. Our department does have a very prolific drone unit. Our drone unit has 4 certified FAA pilots. They've been called not only within the township on several occasions, but also throughout Dauphin County for anything ranging from perhaps supporting community development with some overhead photographs to criminal investigations to search incidents. Particularly, we just called out not too long ago for a few searches on the river. So the drone unit, some of the limitations of the fact and something I didn't know until we developed this unit is that those drones can only stay up about anywhere from 17 to 25 minutes based upon the environmental conditions and also the capabilities of what we're using the drone for. If we're using thermal imagery, if we're using photographic items on the drones, those batteries are consumed expeditiously. In order for the drone to sustain a search operation or any other type of public safety operation, they need to bring a lot of batteries to a scene and they need to charge them rapidly. Our hope is to equip this vehicle with a powerful enough inverter that that drone unit can not only bring their aircraft to the scene, but also have the capability to rapidly charge a lot of the batteries that are required for sustained operations. So as I stated, the total cost for this is $144,000. That's inclusive not only of the vehicle itself, but also the custom configuration for the scales, the inverter, some of the other things that are used for these investigations, as I've discussed. Also for the computer technology that's used to conduct the investigations and the cameras that we use on our daily patrol operation.
And you touched on this, but I wasn't totally clear when I saw these materials. This is replacing a vehicle. Is it replacing the same kind of van currently?
We have an old Econoline, Ford Econoline. E350 van. So this is the same van you see with the Amazon drivers scooting through our neighborhoods on a daily basis. So this would be replacing that van, giving us more functionality, particularly for the drone unit. Our current van does not have that functionality to offer power sources for our drone unit. So we do have those limitations.
Any other questions for Lieutenant Roach?
Yeah, I'm curious as to what other modifications are done. You indicated you have scales right now and they're in another van, so are we planning on getting new scales too?
No, the scales, in fact, it's my 25th year with Derry Township Police, and those scales have been here when I started in 1998. They have some resiliency. Our only requirement is to take them up to the state capitol once a year to have them calibrated and certified. Other than that, they're very, very durable. They are very costly. They're very costly piece of equipment.
So we're not getting new ones?
We're not getting new ones.
I understand the inverter. I'm still a little, why $144,000? You know, cargo vans don't, or these kind of vans don't cost that much. And I'm just kind of curious what kind of other modifications.
Yeah, mostly it's the custom configuration of sort. We have, to get into the minutia of a truck inspection, you have creepers that you have to crawl under the truck. You have tools that measure brake chambers. You have chalk blocks that have to be stored in the vehicle to secure the truck while the inspector is underneath it. The scales, there's 12 scales. I would say they're probably each easily 60 pounds per scale. And they measure about 3 feet long by 2 feet wide. So they are large. So the custom configuration to store that equipment in the back of that van. You also have a workspace. When you inspect a truck, the data from that inspection has to be transmitted almost immediately to Federal Department of Transportation outside of Washington, D.C. Lobbyists, trucking companies really want rapid data, so we do have to have workstations with Wi-Fi accessibility for the inspectors to transmit that data as soon as their inspection is complete. So a lot of it has to do with electronic components, storage, things of that nature.
Bathroom, refrigerator.
None of that.
All right, thanks a lot. Good luck with your truck.
Thank you, Lieutenant.
Thanks, sir.
Mr. Chairman, the last item that we have on for this township area is the public works.
meeting a few weeks ago, Tom presented a request of the board, and the board did honor that for us to run and pre-order that truck, much like what we heard from the fire department. There's a lag in the ordering process. It's a year plus there before a dump is delivered. The amount of money that we're requesting in this range is $238,657. Tom, correct me if I'm wrong, but that includes the upfitting charge for the truck itself. That's stainless steel dump, spreader, plow, and the unit itself. So this would be an opportunity if the board would rank this as part of its criteria, an opportunity to reduce expenses within the road equipment fund. As you know, we did slate this piece of equipment to be purchased out of that fund moving forward in the 2024 budget. So if we're lucky enough to get ranked and lucky enough to get funding from the county through this process, that will certainly help offset taxpayer obligations for this particular piece of equipment. That's all I have.
Is this just a refresher of my memory on this truck? So is this replacing equipment? Is it in addition to the fleet?
This is a replacement.
It is a replacement, yes. On a 20-year-old truck.
Okay. And is it standard sized in terms of the dump? Is there anything unique or special about this particular truck?
No restrooms, no refrigerator, just plow, salt spreaders, and a dump body. It's a large, one of the larger dump trucks. It's a 39,000 GBW, so it's a larger single axle.
And this, okay, so it's going to have immediate application year round.
Yep.
Okay. Anybody else with any questions for Mr. Clark about this particular item? Okay.
Thank you. I'd like to turn it over now to a representative of the Gary Township Community Cats Association to discuss their shed project.
Good evening, John Rankin, or MKIN. I'm a board member and treasurer for Gary Township Community Cats. Most of you are probably very familiar with our organization. I know a lot of you have been out to our facility, so you'll understand the situation that we're in, and currently we're having a banner year in terms of trapping cats. So actually July's been a banner year. We've got 40 cats just in July, which is almost as many as we had all year. So we're pushed to the limits in terms of ability to handle that number of cats, and that's why we're asking for a little bit of help, because we provide the majority of help to us later. Funding the lease and reimbursement trips to the neuter for us. So we appreciate that.
Mr. Rankin, just do me a favor, pull that mic a little closer because it's getting your voices trailing.
How's that? Is that better?
That's better when you speak.
Okay.
Yeah, I heard it, but it, so that everybody in the room can hear.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Sure. So, I mean, what we're really looking for is an 8x10 shed to be able to place that on the property. The expense of that is about $4,500 with some solar lights. It comes to about $4,600 to remove some of the cages, supplies, etc., that are taking up space inside that would be utilized to be able to deal with the number of our cats that we're seeing. And the numbers are growing. I'm not sure why, but they're growing year by year. So, you know, we're definitely in need of the space to be adequate to attend to the township cat population.
Questions on this item? Mr. Rankin?
Mr. Rankin, thank you for coming out and presenting. When Ginger explained the Dairy Township Cats to some of us when we had an opportunity to come out to your facility, I don't think, I personally didn't realize that before your nonprofit was operating, the police department used to be in charge of these cats. So the service that you're providing is helping out the police department. I didn't realize that Dairy Township Cats was kind of an offshoot of the Dairy Township Police Department. And so you're saving them a lot of time and effort by your volunteer hours and capturing all the cats in Dairy Township and spay and neutering them.
Yeah, and more strictly, everybody's volunteer. And it takes a lot of effort, especially when you get a phone call and says, hey, there's a cat out here, one of us don't respond, go get a trap,
right.
Try to set the trap, try to get the cat. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work. What we're finding this year is we're getting a lot of pregnant moms, and so we trap a cat and find out, oh, pregnant mom, so not only do I have one cat, we have three cats or four cats or six cats.
But before you, they were calling Lieutenant Roach.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, sometimes we get them involved, but not normally.
So thank you.
And I feel, I know you, in your letter you mentioned you were founded in 2012, and I recall at that time we were dealing with a feral cat population that was sort of growing out of control, which we were very concerned at the township about the public health issue it was potentially creating. And so this was a very good solution to a problem that wasn't going to be easy to solve. So thank you for the work that you and your volunteers do. I appreciate your presentation tonight. And if there are any other questions for Mr. Rankin?
Thank you
very much.
Thank you for your support.
Okay, so Mr. Chairman, I'd like to welcome up someone from the Active Learning Center. Donna, you're here on behalf of the Active Learning Center.
I'm very happy to be here. My name is Donna Grubin, and I would say that education is both my passion and my experience. After teaching middle school and high school students, college and graduate students, and professionals, I'm here to ask for your support of our most vulnerable learners, which are those in the primary and secondary school system. Chris, you're advancing this for me? Okay. So I'm here representing the Active Learning Center of Hershey. And that's because educating students is very important, and we want to be able to help them. So who are we? We're a group of educators and professionals that are located here in Hershey, and we are committed to educating Derry Township students beyond the classroom. There's a list of our board of directors as well as advisors. And our board of directors, as you see, represent a wide scope of professionals within education at various levels, and our advisors are from both public and private sectors that have already spoken with us about their additional ability to support us. So what are we? We are a newly registered 501c3 volunteer-based nonprofit organization, and we're located in the heart of Hershey. Our mission is to support the educational needs of area students by closing the educational gaps and instilling a love of learning. And this all will take place in a collaborative 21st century workspace. We're located, I would say, behind Chipotle, across from Wells Fargo, and our address is 203 West Caracas Avenue. So where are we? The Active Learning Center, as you can see, it's on Caracas Avenue, and we have a variety of spaces that students can use for learning. Their names kind of describe what they're used for, but they're all multi-purpose areas. We have a homework hub, an academic skills station, collaborative corner, a presentation room, team project room, breakout space, multimedia room, and a learning lounge. The commonality of all these areas is the availability of not only space for learning and collaborating, but smart TVs, whiteboards, computers, and various technology that any student would need to do homework or to study. So why? We want to help our students one at a time. Our goal is to improve and enhance learning and help students recover from the gaps in core subjects, including those that we know occurred during COVID-19. So we don't have to look very far in the news to find out from Forbes and PBS and the Department of Education, the Brookings Institute, as well as local Fox News and Education Week to find out that not only have there been test scores, but also grades, whether it be SATs, grades, standardized testing, have all fallen. Now, you can stay on this slide because the other information I have is, so that's worldwide, we know that, or nationwide. There have definitely been, there are always gaps in education. COVID-19 really made that gap a lot more pronounced. Here in Derry Township, if you look at our data for PSSAs, that's the testing that students take up until eighth grade. If you just focus on math, which is a cumulative type of topic where you have to be aware of what you've learned to move on to the next step, for example, and there's a lot of spiraling and repetition. that's the easiest subject to fall behind in. And we find if you look at Derry Township's PSSA score, starting with data from spring of 2015 to just last year, from fifth grade on, there was drops in every grade, fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth grade. If you look at the keystones, which occur in high school after algebra, so algebra is the one mathematical keystone test, and if you look at that, there were also consistent drops from data from 2017 to last spring as well. And some of those drops were 2, 3, up to 12 percentage points. So it's really important to recognize where is the need. Next slide. So how are we going to do that? So the main ways are through subject tutoring, remediation, as well as homework support. We also provide spring and summer enrichment classes. We provide academic skills training as well as SAT test prep. So this really helps students not only with their ongoing learning and grades, but also helping them with further achievement in terms of getting into colleges and being able to study beyond the secondary level. We recently, actually 3 years ago, and we're in our third summer right now, we have a summer program, a pilot project, in which we've been able to educate over 25 middle school and high school students, specifically in math. And it was the purpose of this was during COVID to review what they had learned the previous year before they would go into the next level because they weren't ready. They didn't get enough learning during COVID, and then they lose it during the summer, and then they have to start up the next level of math. And all 3 years when we offered that, and we had a limited number because we were, like I said, it was a pilot, we found that we were able to teach students who had identified needs in basic math, algebra, geometry, algebra 2 trigonometry, as well as pre-calculus. And all students that participated were able to successfully transition to the next year of math because of our summer support. So, how can you help? So, well, the first one was part one, was what we do. Part two is our initial success will be through the generosity of this shared grant. Specifically, we're requesting $65,000 to $75,000. The initial $65,000 would be our operating expenses to mostly rent and utilities to run the facility, and then short-term capital expenses just to make sure that we can to cover the cost of all the furniture, computers, etc., and then school supplies. And then the final $65,000 to $75,000, the final $10,000 would really be just to help us get started in terms of bringing students in and actually tutoring them. We'll be manning the tutoring with paid tutors as well as volunteer tutors. And just to give you an example of the cost, we could prepare 5 students for a full 3-part program, full SAT test prep for $5,000, or we could do math remediation for 50 students. We could do learning skills workshops for 50 students. We could do tutoring sessions for 50 students. We could do an enrichment program for the entire summer for 2 students. This is just an example of the types of things we want to do and the funding that is required. And then part three is our ongoing success will also be through the generosity of our local community. And we've spoken with various leaders as well as individuals, community members, and their contributions will help us with ongoing tutoring abilities. And 100% of our contributions from our founding gold, silver, bronze sponsors, as well as our ALC friends and donors, will go directly to supporting the tutoring needs and enrichment programs for our Derry Township students. So, questions, comments, anything else? That was just a very quick overview.
As I said, we've had the presentation, so we've had the ability to go through it. I have no doubt that with you doing this, you pushing this project, this is going to be a successful endeavor. I know that you will make it happen. My question for you is, this is so focused on this education component that I agree with everything you have in your presentation, what you've said. Is there grant funding either from the school district or the department or the state that could help with a program like this that might be more specifically tailored to education?
So the county is one place that we're looking, but we're really looking at private entities that have not only requirements, but are incentivized to support educational endeavors. So we're also going to be talking to local banks. Our initial talks have been with Hershey Foods as well as the Road to Kindness, which is a nonprofit organization who who want to utilize our services and support us as well. So we have a couple irons in the fire, but of course this would be a great start for us in terms of our the need for the building and the furniture, but the actual ongoing tutoring is going to be in all those other areas.
And do the students, are these students that pay for this service?
So that's the problem. Students can pay for tutoring if their parents can afford it, but we've got a definite gap, and the ability to pay for tutors shouldn't be the defining factor in whether a student can make up for what they've lost or what they need remediation for, and we want this to be something that any student can attend and is paid for.
Any other questions for Dr. Perlman?
Thank you for the presentation. I know from what I do in my real life, that my day job, that these types of foundations are very helpful. And I think there probably are some other avenues that you could probably pursue that might be really helpful to secure some funding. But I know when we've looked at all of these projects, we've really taken a hard line in terms of the benefits to actual our budget and our taxpayers. So while I definitely see a benefit to this in the community, I'm just struggling to see, like, with our day-to-day budget, like, where I can, like, put that into. That's where my struggle is. Not with your project, because it looks like a great project, and I know that there's definitely kids that could use this here in Derry Township, but with us drawing kind of the hard line with how does this benefit the taxpayers and our budget, I'm just having a hard time seeing that.
I'm so glad you asked that. Anyone who's a parent of a child knows that college educations, if that's the route they want to pursue, or any technical school, is expensive. And majority or a good number of people in Derry Township can't afford private education, and we don't qualify for need. So we're in the perfect storm in Derry Township where we need our kids to do better than other kids. When I work with students, I tell them if there's an SAT range 25 to 75th percentile, you have to go for the 75th percentile so that you can get the scholarships. And probably I'd say 75 to 80% of the students that we work with in terms of their college advising get scholarships because they can get higher grades. The summer enrichment programs allow them to skip courses, not just because they can afford it, because we're going to provide it for them if they're the higher end. And we provide counseling for internships, anything that we can do to make them a successful student, well-rounded, so that they qualify for the scholarships, which is a lot of times the only way that our students can pay for college. And if you're going to a private school right now, I hate to even say it, but it's $78,000 to $80,000 a year. So we're talking, if you can even get a partial, let alone a full scholarship, that's a huge benefit for our taxpayers.
Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, Mr. Chairman, I think Ann Messler is here this evening from the Hershey Partnership.
Good evening. How's that? Is that good? Mother of four boys. I think you should be able to hear me clearly.
Probably
leave
that mic
to you. No, I don't. Ann Messner with the Hershey Partnership. We are the Hershey Chamber of Commerce. Many of you will say, who are they? What are they doing? And why do I not know about them? Well, that's why we're here. We've been a nonprofit organization founded in 1997. We've had 17 soup cook-offs. You can see we're a 501c6. I'm not going to read these line by line, but because I know this has been in front of you, but I want to tell everyone else a little bit about what we do and why we're doing it. We have had a downtown information center for approximately 20 years. Most recently, we were moved from that location due to the new Tika Shack coming in. So we rented that property. We've now moved down Chocolate Avenue, and we're really trying to get a good communication between all the different entities, all the different nonprofits, because there is such a great need for communication in Derry Township. So yes, we are a chamber. You can just stay on that side, that's fine. We are a chamber. We have about 140 members. They range from about 60% of services, which would be your banks, your attorneys, your
corporate entities, all the way through the entertainment attractions, through entertainment resorts and Hershey Foods and adventure sports, Hidden Stills, Stumpies, and those, etc. So what we do is we meet every month, we get together, we have breakfast at different locations, and we talk to each other, because there's nothing more important than getting face-to-face with each other. We have membership dues that are $375 for a for-profit business, $200 for a nonprofit. So, for example, my small business is $375. It's also $375 for entertainment and resorts. We don't base it upon number of employees or locations that they have. So what we do is we offer a website. We have our networking. We have membership benefits that include meeting and mixers after hours. We have those each monthly. But what we're really trying to do is we're trying to get our members to come together even more. We've seen enough small businesses in Hershey fail throughout the past two decades, let alone during COVID. So what we do is we have a website that is linked to the Downtown Hershey Association, Visit Hershey Harrisburg, Dairy Township. There's multiple other nonprofit organizations that we connect with. And we have a couple different project needs that we really have to do better at. We need to have more than 25% of the businesses in Hershey. We need to have 60% of those businesses. So what we do is we offer networking opportunities, I said, for members. We promote the common interests of the hotels, restaurants, services. When you come to our website and you click on the Quality Inn, we don't take the heads to beds for that. If you're familiar with that at all, with Visit Hershey Harrisburg, we don't take the credit for that reservation. We know they're coming here. We just want them to see that there's all different things to do in Hershey, and that includes the small businesses, Simply J, Stumpy's Hatchet House. We run an annual publication that we talked about last year. We actually finally got this printed in a nice glossy fashion. And inside, we list all of our members and all the different things there are to see and do. So we know we're printing 100,000 of these because tourists are going to pick these up. But it's not just for the big attractions when you come into town. We also want them to see the beef jerky experience. We want them to see the smaller businesses and the nonprofits that are here and why it's so important to frequent those as well. We're looking for three parts to our project. We have a website, which you're welcome to take a peek at, HersheyPartnership.com. We're looking at revamping, updating that website. For $14,900, we have an estimate to redo that, get those connections a little bit better, again, reaching out to all those other nonprofit groups. We also have a proposal for social media, because really in this day and age, you really got to have good social media, and most of our members are sort of in that midlife area where none of us are doing it really well. We're an all-volunteer organization. So we have an estimate there for social media for $12,000, which basically is all of your Twitter, your Instagram, your Facebook, all those updates, keeping all those communications together. There really is no great central source to get all the nonprofits in Hershey communicating. For example, there may be a parade in downtown Hershey, and we didn't hear anything about it, or the businesses in downtown Hershey didn't hear anything about it. So we'd like to have a central source where we're all communicating together. We also have a publication quote in there, and that's really just to hit the businesses in Hershey. We do a distribution annually through CTM or Shore Service that goes to Lancaster, Philadelphia, Washington. It does all the outlying areas because we know we're a destination, but also do a bigger hit on Dairy Township itself and the businesses in Hershey. Cross-communication, cross-promoting. We have our annual soup cook-off. This will be our 17th year where the proceeds go to the Hershey Fire Company. When we're thrilled to have them every year. We're doing that again this year. We had to pause it during the COVID, but we're partnering this year with Downtown Hershey Association to get that up and running again. Any questions?
So, may I call you Ann?
Of course.
Ann, what's the primary source of the funding for the partnership? Is it from membership?
It is 100% from membership. So we take our membership dues and we come up with a budget, and that entails the Hershey Information Center, our website, and really our breakfasts are sponsored by members. So we are self-sufficient in that.
And I don't know, I was listening, but I was trying to go through to see if I could find the number of members in the partnership.
140 currently. We also have reciprocal memberships with the other chambers, with the Visit Hershey Harrisburg, the Homestead Business Professional Association, as well as the other chambers, Carlisle, Gettysburg. Those are reciprocal, so that means we don't pay, they don't pay, we just use each other's services and provide information. And of course, we have an information center because we're mailing out these publications that has all the information about our members. We get calls every single day, I'm coming to Hershey, I want to go to the park, or I don't want to go to the park, what else is there to do?
Well, the beef jerky place.
The beef jerky place, of course. Well, but part of the changes that we've had over the past 2 or 3 years is loss of businesses in Hershey. And it's loss of friendships because we meet every single month and we see each other every single month. I can't even begin to tell you the list of people that have come and gone in our town and changes and turnovers and sales of businesses because of lack of being able to stay in business.
Yeah, I think that what you do in partnership is really important. I think there's economic benefit in this community as a result of a lot of the efforts from the partnership. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important. I think communities that have strong business partnerships, residents see the benefit of all of that in ways they don't always realize because mm-hmm. of the strengthening of that small business community, and we're fortunate to have some large employers here, large businesses. The backbone of this community is small businesses. So it's good work you're doing. And
we just need to grow. We just need to grow, not just exist. And we've probably stayed around the same numbers for the past decade.
Has there ever been any discussion around, is there any kind of a, do you have a formal relationship with the Downtown Hershey Association?
We do, yes. I'm on the board of directors for the DHA also.
Oh, okay.
And I have been since the inception, so... Yeah, that's why we started a partnership this year to do the soup cook-off together. We're sort of doing different functional things, if you will. Our membership and our members sort of go as far as Carlisle Sports Emporium. We don't limit ourselves to just the downtown because we recognize that Adventure Sports and even some of the hotels are out of the downtown that are our members. So we try and keep the dollar rolling, if you will, and use each other's services. Yeah, and most of the people who attend our breakfasts and our mixers are sole proprietors and independent business people who, again, we're trying to use each other's services and have those friendships, but again, we need that. The jump over to social media is a really big one for us because we just don't have a good presence with that. So again, we've piecemealed it with DHA, but to get a decent following, you really have to do campaigns for that. And that's where we can sustain our organization and our office and our mailers that we mail out, our publications, when we can't grow because we're not reaching that audience that we need to reach. Any other questions?
Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, our last presenter this evening is Glenn Rowe on behalf of the Susquehanna Mountain Bike Association.
Good evening, Glenn Rowe. You may know me from my kids from the school with your kids, or you may know me from Chair of Planning Commission, but I'm here for Susquehanna Area Mountain Bike Association. So I'm a board member of Susquehanna Area Mountain Bike Association and a trail director for the Hershey Med Center Trails. SAMBO, what we do is our goal is to support and promote mountain biking in South Central Pennsylvania. We organize rides, we educate, we provide training on how to ride a mountain bike. But more importantly, we build and maintain mountain bike trails in South Central Pennsylvania. So we have 10 trails that we maintain. We are a nonprofit organization. We have over 300 members, and probably it's definitely pushing over 2,000 that are following us on social media. Our trails are really, most of them are designed as multi-purpose trails, so not just for mountain biking, it's for hiking and other activities. So let me ask a question to the board. How many people have been to the Hershey Med Center trails? Okay. Couple of you have.
I tried to get there.
Yeah. So we did an economic impact study to really evaluate what the Hersey Med Center trails are bringing to not only Derry Township, but the region. And we put cameras out on the trails so we could collect a number of bicyclists as well as hikers and walkers, and determined that it generates about 21,000 visits a year. And I've run into people from all over the country there, definitely in this region, but I've actually ran into somebody from Hawaii that was there, mountain biking. People, when they come to town, if they're mountain bikers, they bring their bike with them, and so they're visiting the trails. In our survey, people are using it for hiking, trail running, geocaching, which that was not even planned, but it kind of surprised me that that showed up on our survey. And it's really all ages that are using the trails. So what we are requesting is, if you can go to the map. So this is the trail system we have. It's over 10 miles of trail. You'll get a hefty workout just walking the trails. But up in the left-hand corner, you'll see a green connector where it's going down to Lifeline Drive, Research Drive, and Bullfrog Valley Road. We think it's important, and it really is important for the community to connect trails together. So it drops you right down to the Eschenauer Trail. Unfortunately, our partner, who's Penn State, and they allowed us to build these trails there, and we have an agreement with them, they didn't want the dirt trail coming right out to the intersection. So if you can go to the next slide. So there's, you can see that's the aerial photograph. You can go to the next slide. So they have that nice grass-groomed area. They didn't want, basically, a dirt trail coming down through the intersection. So we end up having to come up with a plan where it would be paved, and because it's going to be paved, it would have to be brought up to ADA requirements. Sambo with our own money, and also the gracious donations of Wilson Engineering came up with a plan to bring that intersection up to ADA requirements. All the other corners are ADA requirements, but this one isn't. It has a push button, so really it's kind of a violation of ADA. This is the engineering plan. Penn State has agreed to build it. They basically said that they don't have the budget to actually fund it. So SAMBA is looking at applying for a grant to not only pay for the construction, but we also are in need of two e-bikes for maintenance because some of the trail systems, it can be a long ride back in carrying a chainsaw and tools. And we have special backpacks to carry chainsaws and our tools, and it's going to be a lot easier on an e-bike instead of huffing in on a regular bike, get back in there, you're exhausted, and then you have to like move a tree or do something. Some very rugged work. So we also need a trailer to put all of our tools in. So we're kind of grouping this into one grant. You can see that we have over $24,000 in the intersection design and doing the trail study, which I'll gladly share with you. If you want an electronic copy, I try not to kill too many trees. So I can get you an electronic copy of the study. We're looking at construction is probably going to be about $36,000, the two e-bikes $12,000, and the trailer $12,000 for a total of $60,000. I've been talking to the West End and showing them the benefits. They've also agreed to donate at least $2,500. Hershey Foods has been an awesome partner for us. They do their volunteer work day and they come out and they work on the trails with us. And they contribute $2,500 too. So we're looking at a grant of $55,000. And the benefits of this trail system are, what was one of your checklists you had to have? Safety. It's all about safety now, crossing that intersection. And you look at the developments on that side of the west side of Derry Township. There's a lot of kids who ride bikes because mountain biking and biking teams are huge now. Like, Derry Township has one, and I think they have at least 50 kids that are riding on that team. So they're going to have to cross there. So it's a safety issue. We're doing the fundraising for an upgrade to a township facility, improving trail access, reducing the need, because right now the trailhead is at Reservoir Road on the Penn State property. So it allows people to actually park elsewhere on National Ride Road and then head up to the trails. And then, of course, mountain biking and beer kind of go together. So it's a great place to kind of go down. And we used to go to the Cocoa Beanery, but hopefully it'll bring some beer back there, but we can go down to Englewood now. Connection really kind of plays multi-use purpose. And, you know, you talk about safety. You saw in the study there where it's a significant contribution to the township. And it's a nonprofit, so hopefully see where it checks all three of your requirements to sponsor. And that's it.
So, Glenn, where are the... tell me about the economic benefits. You quantified at $550,000 a year. What is that based on?
So part of our study, we asked people, well, what do they do when they come to the trail? And just like I suggested, you know, some people go grab something to eat or drink afterwards. So they listed how much money they would typically spend. The youth mountain bike has a coach's clinic, a statewide clinic, and they've been having it for a couple of years over at the Hershey Lodge, and then they go up and ride and train on the trails. So that brought hotel revenue in. And then, of course, with the hotel revenue is food. And then the bike shops have also seen an increase in mountain bike sales since these trails went in late 2018. And in fact, I talked to Dauphin County Economic Development. They looked at the study. They said your approximation for dollars spent on food is really low. They thought we should actually have it higher. So they think it's probably even higher than $500,000 of drinks in every year.
And is your partner literally the hospital, the medical center, or is it Penn State Health, the overall parent organization?
So the property is owned by Penn State University. We have an agreement with Penn State University. We're insured. It's very specific on what we can and can't do. As far as building it, it's Penn State University that will add it to a contract in the spring sometime. Hopefully we hear that we get the funding, you know, in March, and then they go ahead and hire a contractor.
But it's Penn State, so the reason I ask is if the Hershey Medical Center is listed as the partner, but it's Penn State University.
Penn State University, yes. They did all the approvals and agreements, so it's, yeah.
Any other questions for Mr. Rowan on this project?
So I have one question. Last question. For the grant application process, you have to have your sponsorship letter in by August 1st. And I'm curious, what is the board's plan on prioritizing the project and when they would let us know when this would be prioritized? Because, Mr. Russo, as you point out, you can also have a county sponsorship, or you can also kind of like self-sponsorship if you can kind of check the list of requirements. So I'm just curious, because I have to kind of look at what the best avenue is.
Answer that question. Go ahead.
So during the grant process in and of itself, August 1st, that deadline is specifically just for county sponsorship only. The actual final application will be due September 1st.
Yeah.
So in Derry Township, our sponsorship requirements, the board will vote on a resolution at its upcoming meeting in August. That's been slated for the August 22nd meeting. So they would vote on presumably a resolution at that meeting. That then a copy would then be provided to anyone that would get sponsorship from the township that could be submitted as part of the application package on September 1st. So the August 1st deadline is important for the county's sponsorship request.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying that.
Sure.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
That's it. We're done. I mean, so it's time to open up a conversation with the board of questions regarding process or procedure moving forward.
So we're going to, so I think, Mr. Chrisman, you would like direction from the board tonight's meeting in terms of which items, which projects to include in the resolution for August, correct?
That's right.
And then also is the added benefit for folks that are not sponsored tonight. They have time now. They do have time. It's tight, but they can apply to the county by August 1st.
That's correct. Right.
Question for you, if there's projects that we don't sponsor, but we... And I'll get into why we might not sponsor a project. But if we didn't sponsor a project yet, we were supportive of it. Are there ways for the board to communicate that to the county? Obviously, we can't be a sponsor. You decide we're not a sponsor. We're not a sponsor. But can we still help support a project with the county as they make their decisions?
I think we could offer a letter of support for a project, much like if you would seek a letter of support from Representative Mahaffey's office. You know, his office provides a letter of support to the county commissioners. You know, while he can't sponsor directly, you know, that might be an option for the board to consider.
So anyway, let me just start by saying, you know, we're going to give you guidance tonight for the benefit of those in the room as well. Look, every project that was presented in its own right was worthy of consideration and is worthy of consideration support of either the township or the county. What we learned through last year's process, candidly, was that, number one, we weren't comfortable sponsoring for-profit applications. We see these gaming share dollars as dollars that should come to the municipality in our estimation, to help offset the tax burden of our residents and or provide some direct benefit to the taxpayers of our residents. It is one of the reasons we gave priority, number one, to municipal projects, because all of the municipal projects are projects that if we don't receive gaming share dollars, that money comes out of the township budget, i.e. it comes from our taxpayers, correct?
That's correct.
So the idea was that, number one, our first priority would always be municipal projects. That has historically been the position of the township. We've been funding fire apparatus for the fire department for many years through gaming share dollars. And I don't see that practice ending. For instance, this isn't a reflection of Mr. Sassaman or his colleagues, but the fire apparatus is among the most expensive apparatus of any municipal apparatus. It compares with with heavy-duty public works vehicles and even exceeds that, like, as we found out this year. 12 years ago, two pieces of apparatus for the fire department cost $1.1 million for the township, and we secured all of that funding through gaming share dollars. In 2023, two pieces of equipment are going to cost almost $2 million.
Yes, sir.
It is why it is so important for us to be able to draw on those funds for expenditures like fire apparatus. We've never had different buckets in the township for this money. We don't even have that control. All we can control is which projects we send to the county and say, these are important to us as their township officials that they get funded. The county has several buckets of this money they reserve. Some of that money is for economic development, some of that money is for public safety, and some of that money is for another bucket. But that size of that bucket is considerably larger than what we are afforded county for township projects. It makes this process very difficult and very unpleasant because there's, as we saw this year from the podium, there are all good projects here. I don't know what everybody's going on in everybody's heads. I'm going to ask them shortly and you're going to hear what's in everybody's heads. But but I wanted to lay that out initially, that last year after this process, we publicly stated at several meetings that our priority moving forward for the foreseeable future was municipal projects, number one. Nonprofits operating generally, primarily within Derry Township, serving Derry Township residents that could show a direct benefit to the taxpayer. That's an important distinction because all of the nonprofits that have appeared here tonight clearly have benefit to Derry Township residents, but it's that extra piece that we need to have in that formula to get us comfortable sponsoring it. So, based on what we heard from the podium, I think it's fairly, I don't know, there will be some applicants in this room this evening that will not be happy. Maybe it'll be every applicant, but maybe it'll be none. But if there are applicants not happy with the decision, because you're right, but based on what I've heard tonight, I think that this board would probably be very willing to write letters of support to the county for those applicants who we choose not to sponsor. So take that for what it's worth. I think it's an important factor to the county when they're analyzing and reviewing these projects. As I say, for what it's worth. So at this time, I'm gonna look to the board, my board members. We can probably categorize these projects into three groups or two groups primarily. And if there's more, tell me. But the first group clearly is municipal projects. As it relates to the municipal projects, the fire apparatus, the police apparatus, public works apparatus, the library HVAC system, does the board wish to sponsor any or all of those projects?
All of them?
Is that everybody is unanimous on those projects. So for those folks that presented a municipal project, the board will sponsor all of those projects. With respect to the non-municipal projects, we need a little discussion around, do we wish to sponsor any of those projects? Are you satisfied? And if you're satisfied, if you wish to sponsor the project, if you're a board member, you know, tell us why the project meets the definition or our criteria for nonprofits that directly financially benefit our taxpayers. So I'm going to open that up for general discussion for the nonprofits. So that would be, I think, the Derry Township Community Cats, Active Learning Center, Hershey Partnership, Susquehanna Mountain Biking Association. That's that next group.
I'm happy to offer a comment. So I think as board members, we have a fiduciary responsibility to our taxpayers. And that's not to diminish the proposals that came before us from the nonprofits, but looking at our budget and looking at the inflation constraints and looking at what is going on in the world, it is really important for us to prioritize the applicants who have a direct benefit on our budget. And that is the first three, and Derry Township Cats is part of our budget. We do have a very small line item that is in our budget, and the $4,500 that they are requesting will help on this budget. So those first three numbers on there, the Hershey Volunteer Fire Company, the Township of Derry Project, and the Derry Township Cats, all will have a benefit to all taxpayers. So I'm advocating that those are the projects that we send a letter of sponsorship for. And again, that's not to diminish or discount the other projects. It's just we have to put a line somewhere, and a direct benefit to our budget is a good place to put that line.
All right, so thank you, Mrs. Nutt, for your comments. Other thoughts from the other board members so we know the direction to give Mr. Christman?
I would like to echo Ms. Nutt's comments there. The Active Learning Center, I have a daughter getting ready to start taking her SATs. It would be great for her. Hershey Partnership, I can't really comment on that because I'm part of the Downtown Hershey Association. And Susquehanna Mountain Biking Association, I don't feel that the benefit to the township itself is there. So I think 1, 2, and 3 should have our support.
So, thank you, Mr. Zanuda.
I also echo what Natalie and Mr. Zanuda said, especially as it relates to the cats. I didn't realize it was freeing up time for the police as well with that initiative, so I echo those.
So you share their sentiments?
I share exactly, Mr. Lycom. I concur with the sentiments of the board.
All right, so at this point, I think to sum it up, the board feels very strongly items 1, 2, and 3, Mr. Crispin, that those should be sponsored by the board. Items 4, 5, and 6, which would be Active Learning Center, Hershey Partnership, Susquehanna Mountain Bike Association, all very good projects, all with demonstrable benefits to Derry Township residents. But again, we're looking at the taxpayer benefit. We're happy to support the letter of support to the county, but we're not going to, it does not appear that we're going to sponsor those three. So that would be, so it's going to be important that anybody, I also want to add, I think all three of those projects are very worthy county projects for very similar but also different reasons. I think it is I think the Susquehanna Mountain Biking Association and the Hershey Partnership definitely deserve economic development funding from the county for the work that you guys are doing. I'm happy to support that for you. In terms of the Active Learning Center, there's clearly a gap that exists, and that's got to be filled. I wish the school district could figure out a solution to that gap and help you with that, but they may not have the ability to grant funding from their budget. Clearly, there are children that are going to benefit from this program, and I'm proud that it's in our community and that we have people getting it from this community, and I'm happy to support it with the county for the funding needs. So. Mr. Crispin, do we need a motion, or do you need a motion, or is this direction enough?
This is clearly enough direction. I appreciate the board's comments this evening, and I know it's a difficult kind of process to go through, as you mentioned. We'll have that resolution prepared for your meeting on August 22nd, and we'll actively work to get letters of support prepared for the other items that you mentioned.
And for the groups, if you've not been sponsored and you're interested in the township sending a letter of support, please let Mr. Crispin know. You can let him know tomorrow morning if you like, but please let him know so we can. We had success with that last year, so I think we'll have success. That will lead to some success for applicants this year, too. Okay, thank you. All right, so we'll move on to the next item on the agenda, which is the consideration of a letter of support for a PennDOT application for a U.S. Department of Transportation grant to replace the I-83 bridge. Mr. Crystal.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you may or may not be aware, PennDOT is currently seeking a U.S. Department of Transportation grant to help finance the replacement of the I-83 bridge, also known as the South Bridge. As the board is aware, this serves as a major artery for Dauphin County and in particular the South Central region. Derry Township is directing a lot of its economic pipeline for the township, bringing a lot of tourism dollars to the area and to Hershey Park specifically, the Giant Center. So before you tonight is a request from PennDOT that the regional municipalities offer a letter of support for their application to the U.S. Department of Transportation. That draft is in your packet. If there are any questions, the administration is certainly supportive of recommending approval of that letter. If there are any changes, I'm happy to entertain those and make them as necessary.
I've reviewed the letter. I don't have any changes. I think it's appropriate to submit. Anybody else have any thoughts or concerns?
Mr. Crispin, is this something that the other local municipalities are also providing?
As far as I know, yes. I don't know who has offered, yes or no. We're all in the same boat. Oftentimes, when you have a letter of support like this, it requires the elected body to offer that support. I can't just do it unilaterally. So I don't know for certain if certain boards are going to support it or not. I would imagine the gravity of the situation with the condition of the bridge and its need to be repaired and replaced, I would imagine that most municipalities would support it.
It would be better than filling.
Yes.
All right. If there's no questions for Mr. Christman, we will need a motion.
I'll make a motion. I move that the Board of Supervisors authorize the Township Manager to execute a letter of support for use by PennDOT for an application for a U.S. Department of Transportation grant to replace the I-83 bridge in Dauphin County.
All right. Motion made by Mr. Corrado. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Mr. Zamuto. Any questions or discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. The next item is C. It's the authorization to enter into and execute a memorandum of understanding with PennDOT for the installation and maintenance of the improvements to the proposed Bachmanville Road roundabout. Mr. Armstrong.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You may recall not too long ago you authorized entering into an MOU with the Mill Hershey School for purposes of the construction and some shared maintenance responsibilities with the Bachmanville Road roundabout. This is a related but slightly different. This would be an MOU with PennDOT, similar to many other HOP projects. PennDOT typically looks to the municipality to be required to design, construct, and maintain those improvements. With the understanding that the township has turned around and basically put on a lot of those responsibilities onto the Mount Hershey School with respect to the design, construction, and some of the maintenance requirements, this is a requirement that PennDOT is looking for from the township in order to proceed with that project. So unless the board has any questions or concerns or comments for me, it would be appropriate for the board to consider authorizing and entering into this memorandum of understanding.
Questions for Mr. Armstrong? If none, is there a motion?
I'll offer a motion to authorize the execution of the MOU with PennDOT for the installation and maintenance of the improvements for the proposed Bachmanville Road roundabout in a manner and form acceptable to the township.
Very good. Motion made by Mrs. Nutt. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion seconded by Mr. Corrado. Is there any discussion? Any questions? Hearing none, all those in favor approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. The next item is D. It's the construction of sidewalk curbing and accessible ramps on Waltonville Road and Jill Drive. And that's Mr. Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Back in May, we, of course, bid this, and the numbers came in a little higher than expected, requiring us to bid it at prevailing wage rate. We advertised it and did so. And on July 19th, we opened bids. After being advertised, we had the same two bids that we had previously. They were from Rogale Inc. and Doug Land Construction. Rogale in the amount of $58,370 and Doug Land in the amount of $56,082. So we are recommending approval of the Doug Land Construction bid in the amount of $56,082.
Any questions for Mr. Clark?
Yeah, Tom, what's a timeline look like in this, provided this is approved?
I believe it was 45 days.
45 days.
Mr. Clark, thank you for getting the second round of bids. I just wanted to confirm that the funds that are going to be used to pay for this are from the sidewalk fund, so they're offsets from developers. This isn't like tax dollars that are going into this.
That is correct.
Okay, thank you.
All right, unless there are any other questions, we can entertain a motion.
I will offer a motion that the Board of Supervisors awards the contract for construction of sidewalk, curbing, and accessible ramps on Waltonville Road and Jill Drive to Doug's Land Construction Incorporated.
And I'll second.
Motion made by Mrs. Nutt, seconded by Mr. Zamuto. Any further discussion or any questions? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it, and the motion passes unanimously. The next item is E. It's the request to close North Hockersville Road from Old West Chocolate Avenue to Hersheyburg Drive from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Saturday, September 23rd, 2023, for the annual PIAA Cross Country Invitational being held on the grounds of the Hershey Entertainment Complex. Mr. Roach.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, as you're probably aware, it's, state road closures must be authorized by the Board of Supervisors, North Hockersville Road being State Route 2011, between Old West Chocolate and Hockersville Road, requires your authorization. Obviously, the course itself for PIAA Cross Country Invitational on the 23rd, which is a Saturday, requires the runners to traverse over the state route twice per each race. As such, Hershey Entertainment Complex, on behalf of PIAA, is requesting closure. Of note, and as they do in the past, Hershey Entertainment will assume establishing all the road closure signs, barricades, and they also will be in agreement to advertise the closure on their sign boards 5 days in advance of the 23rd. So, police department's recommendation, Ben.
I'll go ahead and make a motion that we close North Hawkinsville Road from Old West Chocolate Avenue to Hershey Park Drive from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Saturday, September 23rd, 2023, for the annual PIAA Cross Country Invitational being held on the grounds of the Hershey Entertainment Complex. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion seconded by Mr. Corrado. Any questions or discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the approval, please vote on the motion. Please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. The next item is F. This is the authorization to place orders for new police vehicles and new police utility truck for the police department. And again, this is Lieutenant Roach.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. The police department is requesting authorization to order 3 patrol vehicles. Those are the conventional Ford police explorers that most people see on a daily basis. In addition, we're looking to fund a Ford F-350 utility truck that is used for our community service officers for their animal control and traffic support services. As Mr. Clark has in the past agreed to the board, the conventional method of ordering vehicles post-pandemic is no longer an option for us. Manufacturers, particularly Ford, will have short windows for us to place our orders. If we miss those windows, then we don't get any vehicles for that year. And that is the case with the fleet vehicles, the police Ford Interceptors. We will get notified by our dealership that, hey, you have a month or 2 months to place the order. In the past, we always wait for the board's approval during the normal calendar budget year. In this case, it's very difficult to do so. So we're asking funding for $266,000 in funding to acquire these four vehicles.
Thank you, Lieutenant Roach. Are there questions for the Lieutenant?
Yeah, I have a question for you, Lieutenant. With a number of police departments moving towards electric vehicles, was there any consideration for having at least one of these vehicles to be rechargeable vehicle?
We are at the mercy of the manufacturer. We do. 2 years ago, the vehicles that we require for our primary patrol fleet are hybrid vehicles. So they do the batteries and conventional fossil fuel. Chief and I had a discussion with our Ford dealership earlier this week. And the availability of those is limited at this point for the patrol vehicle. It is our goal to always try to acquire hybrids, but according to our representative at Whitmore, for the availability probably the next 6 to 8 months is very limited to do that.
So that is an open question. So in the future, you'll continue to look in that direction?
Yeah.
Okay.
We've had the patrol officers have success with them. They are reducing our gas consumption. But as I said, what's coming off the assembly line, we're at their mercy.
All right, I understand. Understand. Thanks for replying.
Any other questions? If not, is there a motion?
I'll offer a motion that the request for the police department to order 3 new Ford police interceptor vehicles and 1 Ford F-350 utility vehicle with utility box body for the fiscal year 2024 budget be hereby approved.
All right, motion made by Mrs. Nutt. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion seconded by Mr. Zunino. Is there any further questions or discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion is approved unanimously. The next item is G. It's the consideration of terminating the township's agreement with Property Registration Champions, also doing business as Pro Champs, and entering into an agreement with HBRA Property Registry to continue to register properties in accordance with Chapter 99 of the Township Code, which deals with foreclosed mortgage property and vacant property. Mr. Emmerich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As the board is aware, ProChamps has been our contractor for registering foreclosed and vacant properties since we first started to register such properties in 2016. Unfortunately, they filed an assignment for the benefit of creditors, which is a method of liquidation that companies resort to when they can no longer meet their financial obligations. In other words, ProChamps is going out of business. There is a clause in our contract with ProChamps to terminate for insolvency. So over the last couple of weeks, I've contacted two other third-party firms. The other one is called MuniReg. None of them have really handy names. But I find that HERA Property Registry LLC will probably serve the township better, as they do actively try to get foreclosed and vacant properties to register. This service doesn't cost the township anything. They collect a registration fee which covers their expenses and provides the township basically $100 per registration. So I'm seeking authorization to have Pat Armstrong correspond with ProChamps to notify them of termination of their contract, and that we contract with HERA Property Registry LLC contingent upon Solicitor Armstrong's final approval of their contract.
All right, thank you, Mr. Emmerich. Are there questions for Mr. Emmerich?
Mr. Emmerich, if they are going out of business, do they owe us money?
You know, I feel like, from what I've seen on the internet, it looks like a lot of townships are out a lot of money. We did get our payment last month for the two foreclosures that Derry Township had. I don't feel like we're out.
Like other townships.
Maybe a month. Yeah. We don't really have a whole lot of foreclosures like other municipalities. Or at least ProChamps wasn't chasing them. I really, in talking with the two firms that I interviewed, one firm had the opinion that they don't really chase them because, you know, that creates problems for townships, and that if they chase them, they feel that making people aware that they need to register has the same benefit, which is really getting the lawns mowed and so on, as if they chased them. The other company actively chases them, and I explained to the first company that in Derry Township we have a very rigid sign ordinance, and the only way to treat the people equally on that is to enforce it equally. So I really didn't like the first company's philosophy.
Okay. Sure. Any other questions for Chuck? If not, we can act on a motion.
Y'all make the motion that this board directs Mr. Armstrong to correspond with ProChamps to notify them of the termination of their contract and authorizes Mr. Chrisman, the township manager, to sign the contract with HERA Property Registry, LLC, contingent upon Mr. Armstrong's final approval.
Motion made by Mr. Zavuda. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion seconded by Mr. Corrado. Any further discussion or questions? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. It takes us to H, which is the preliminary development plan for Derry Township Municipal Authority Garage Addition, Plat 1376. Mr. Emmerich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This plan depicts the 4,843 square foot addition to an existing 7,846 square foot building located at the Derry Township Municipal Complex. This building is basically used for minor offices and for vehicle storage. So the project in and of itself isn't very exciting. I apologize to DTMA for that. Their property is accessed from Clearwater Drive and contains 27.89 acres. It's anticipated the development will not have a discernible impact on traffic in the area. I don't believe they're looking to add any staff with this addition. Stormwater management for this addition will be handled by on-site modifications to an existing stormwater basin shown to the east or right of the proposed building, which is blue on the screen. They've requested a series of waivers for this, again, minor plan. They've requested a waiver from tying in the North American Datum 1983 Pennsylvania Coordinate System, from providing plans and profiles of unaffected utilities, from providing statements from utilities indicating conditions associated with their easements, from providing wooded areas, existing structures, water courses within 50 feet, 200 feet of their outer boundary in the 27 acres, from providing location of various sensitive environmental features, again, within their 27 acres, understanding that their impact to the property is very small. They've asked for a waiver regarding determining the net developable area. And finally, they've requested a waiver from providing contours within 200 feet and 50 feet, and once again, over 27 acres. In each case, Planning Commission and staff are recommending that the waivers be granted. I'm recommending approval of Plat 1376, conditioned upon the 16 rather standard items in my staff comments being adequately addressed. I'm also recommending that the waivers be granted as outlined in the explanation section of the agenda.
Questions for Mr. Emmerich? If there are none, there will be two waivers. Two motions, one dealing with waivers and one dealing with Mr. Emmerich's recommendations in his agenda item. So,
I move that the waivers are granted from the subdivision and land development ordinance as noted in the explanation section of this agenda item for the preliminary final land development plan for DTMA Garage Edition Plat 1376.
All right, motion made by Mr. Wyckoff. Is there a second?
Second
by Mr. Corrado. Is there any further discussion or questions?
He gets points at DTMA for that.
All right, all those in favor of granting or approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. This motion passes unanimously. Is there a second motion?
I will also move that the preliminary final land development plan for DTMA Garage Edition Plat 1376 is approved subject to compliance with items 1 through 16 in the department head recommendation section of this agenda item.
All right, thank you. Motion made by Mr. Wyckoff. Is there a second?
I'll second that one.
Motion by Mr. Zamuda. Or second by Mr. Zamuda. Any questions or discussion items? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. So that would take us to item I, which is sketch plan for Swim Hershey, Plat 1378. What I'm going to propose, though, that because we've been in here for 2 hours and 50 minutes, let's perhaps one of the board agrees to take a 5-minute break. Everybody in the room can use the facilities, get a drink, whatever, and then we'll come back and start back up with that. So is that acceptable to the board? Okay. So we're going to be in recess for 5 minutes.